Cecilian.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
But I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Welcome back. Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia, 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do it. Well, welcome to the second hour of the program right now as we look at how things are going. Things aren't going very well. Everything's down 1%. So all the indices down 1%, that is not good. This S&P is a little bit better than that, but not a whole lot. Everything else is off 1%. So not good news. What will be interesting here with the volume is, this is not traditionally a low volume week. You might think it is because people just kind of mentally slow down. A lot of people take time off and so on. It's probably not going to be this week the way it's structured. You know, the way, you know, Christmas falls on a Tuesday. So really, you know, Monday is likely to be a day that people take off if they're not already off. So Monday will be a low volume day. And so everybody will have a four-day weekend. Some people may be taking off Friday, but it's going to be interesting because of the Fed meeting on Wednesday coming up. So it's all going to be, listen, this whole week, yes, it's going to be some of it is going to be about trade and tariffs. There's no doubt about it. What we're hoping for is that there is nothing monumental that is going to be coming out of the trade talks, that nothing changes. Home builder confidence was down as expected, and that's certainly going to hurt the indices. That came out 4 minutes ago, and home builder index confidence hits a 3.5-year low. So, look, this is probably on fears that now. This is on an assumption. Remember, they don't know yet. This is a November number, and it's on an assumption that the Fed is going to continue to raise and was going to raise in December. That's what they were thinking when the survey was done. And they're probably not too far from that. And that's probably going to be the case. Big mistake. But nonetheless, the Federal Reserve is maybe not going to be happy until he puts us in a recession. Maybe that's what he's waiting. You know, maybe he wants to be like every other Fed chairman and be the one that can push the economy off the cliff. Nobody over the years has been able to do that better than the Federal Reserve. And maybe he wants to maintain tradition. Maintain tradition. And maybe I've been wrong all this time about the Federal Reserve and what they look at. Maybe the fact is that they are looking at the economy, and they are looking at the numbers, and they have no idea what they're looking at. Maybe that's not too likely. Or maybe they're not looking at it really when they should be, so they don't know what's going on. How could they be wrong so much of the time? I don't even know how that's possible. But apparently, that has been the case. And they have been wrong most of the time. They don't know how to look forward. They don't know. They don't understand the unintended consequence of what they do. I don't understand how you cannot look at the economic numbers. We've got a tightening labor force. There's no doubt about it. Why is the labor force tightening? Could it be because we have 7.1 million job openings. So we don't have anywhere near that unemployed. So we can't even fill the job openings that we have. And if you have that many job openings, doesn't that tell you that the economy must be good? Not, I guess the Fed doesn't think like that. How can we have one of the best earnings reports that we've ever had? Likely to have a good earnings report in fourth quarter as well. That doesn't mean anything. Companies are doing well. So what? Well, they're doing well because things are going well. It's not, you won't find an Obama economy in the numbers that we've seen in earnings. In other words, you don't have a bunch of companies doing balance sheet engineering in order to make their numbers good. That's not happening. They don't need to. I don't know. Low inflation, wages higher than they've been and going higher. Wages higher than inflation for the first time in a very long time. Organic wage increases because of a tightening labor force primarily. Productivity is great. Industrial production, very good. Manufacturing, as good as it's been. Service sector is better than it's been. Business confidence up over 100, first time in 15 years. I just don't understand it. Dollar has maintained strength and hasn't seemed to bother anybody. We've got a Federal Reserve that has raised rates four times. Nobody seems to care. The economy's still strong. The fifth one might be a killer. But it's time to slow down. Let's talk about, you should know, we should get Wednesday in the meeting, we should be able to come out of the meeting with no rate hike for the month of December without any rate hikes in the future, at least until the month of June. Now, with these meetings, every month, he can raise anytime he wants. You can always raise. Let's wait and see. Anyway, that's what we have going on. Ag, the commodities market, especially with things going on in China with soybean, and we're seeing what happens. So Ag Report coming out, Craig Haugert, our ag reporter, we appreciate him. He's going to give us a rundown on the ag commodities that we've got to pay close attention to.
This is Craig Helgard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. There's a lot of talk in the trade Friday about China coming in to buy U.S. corn. That took the corn marginally higher as it ended up the day a half cent higher, although for the week we closed a whopping 0.75% lower than we did the previous Friday. A Bloomberg wire Friday morning suggested that China would be in soon, maybe as soon as next month, to book up to 3 million metric tons of U.S. corn. The last time China was in to buy more than 1 million metric tons of U.S. corn was back in 2015-16 marketing year. In the overnight trade, spot corn futures are trading a half cent higher. Soybeans traded lower after a round of profit-taking, despite more Chinese bean purchases on Friday. Prices were pressured by smaller-than-expected purchases from China the past couple of days. Also pressuring prices was news from South America that dry areas of the Brazilian state of Paraná is expected to get beneficial rains this week. Brazil is expected to reap another record soybean crop despite possible crop losses from dry conditions in western Paraná. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading 4 cents higher. Wheat traded lower on technical and profit-taking and modest volume Friday. Prices found some support from traders hoping for improving demand over the next few weeks. On the international front, Russia's wheat crop is estimated at 70 million metric tons. The fate of Russian wheat exports is expected to be defined in the December 21st meeting between their ag minister and grain exporters. In Argentina, the wheat harvest is estimated to be 55-60% complete. Weather conditions are looking drier this week, which should allow for increased harvest activity. In the overnight trade, wheat futures are snapping back nicely with Chicago and Kansas City 6 cents higher and Minneapolis trading up 4 cents. March cotton futures posted a higher close Friday as they're up 19 cents for the day, settling at 79.60. In the overnight trade, spot cotton futures are marginally higher, trading up 3 points as I record this. Livestock futures had a rough outing to end the week. February live cattle ended the session 45 cents lower, while January feeder cattle dropped 40 cents for the day. Lean hogs took a step backwards, with February lean hog futures closing 32.5 cents lower for the day. The winning streak in Class 3 milk futures extended to 4 days on Friday. The January milk futures managed to close 3 points higher as they settled at 14.22. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were $1.51 lower at $2.10.96, while selects were $2.14 higher for the day, settling at $2.03.14. In hogs, the pork carcass values close $1.37 lower for the day as they settle at $71.80. This has been Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. We'll be right back with more financial issues.
In November of 1620,
the pilgrims came to America with the hope of building a civilization that would one day be a shining city on a hill. At the American Family Association, we believe that dream is still worth fighting for. We believe that marriage was instituted by God, that families are worth preserving, and that every human life is worth protecting. We are the American Family Association.
He made me come, but I loved him.
The town hall meeting with the Ancilia is a place where you're going to find out information that you won't get anywhere else. Honestly, he's the only person that I can really trust with any kind of financial advice.
I believe that Dan is really speaking from the heart. I think that he has definitely done the research and he understands what's going on, not only with the finances, but with the country in general.
I think young people should care about finance because right now we are in $18 trillion in debt. And that's not my parents' debt, that's my debt now.
The team that comes with him is awesome, and you get a chance to actually meet everybody.
And he has a really good presentation. He's very winsome and very engaging.
Definitely take his knowledge and then go out and do something with it.
Hi, I'm Dan Celia from Financial Issues. I hope you can join us for one of our upcoming town hall meetings. It's a lot of fun, it's free, and I know you'll enjoy it. I hope you'll register today.
Would you consider taking charge of your financial stewardship while being biblically responsible with God's money? Consider partnering with Financial Issues. For a contribution of $85 a year, you'll get Dan's buy list every Monday morning, receive our regular email alerts, and have access to Dan's asset allocation models. You can ask questions of Dan as part of his market and economic conference call every month. But best of all, you'll be supporting the Ministry of Financial Issues. Would you become a partner today? You won't regret it. Go to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
And providing for our needs.
Graham.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do it, 844-707-5533. Let me go to Brian. Brian's calling us from Ohio. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Dan. How are you doing?
Good.
Let's see. I'm working on a income portfolio. I have a couple of questions. Uh-huh. And is it better to have a greater quantity of preferred and or utilities and less invested in each one, or fewer of these and a greater amount invested in each one?
Yeah, it doesn't matter from an income perspective. It doesn't matter either way, but from a protection standpoint, it's the one area when we come to income that it doesn't matter if you have a lot. Where some, I'll say, most areas, I'll say, you don't want to have too much because you dilute the sector if you have too much. In income, it doesn't matter because you're just looking for an average return of all the positions you have. So from a safety perspective and an ease perspective, it may be better to have more. It can't hurt you to have more. If you had a lot of preferreds, then you've got probably more of a chance of one of those being called, but it's a lesser amount that's being called. So you're protected while you're looking for a new one. You know, you're not losing too much income. The problem with having all of it in a lot of your money in one, say, preferred, if it gets called, now you're going to be out that income producing for maybe, you know, a month or so, maybe longer. until you find another preferred to put it in. So I'd rather see you have more in an income portfolio of either one, of both utilities and preferreds.
Archie, could I ask you one more question?
Sure.
How do you figure the dividends, and where do you find that information, and do they send you the dividend each month, or do they just put that in your cash position in your IRA?
So if it's an IRA, they're just going to put it into your cash position. And generally, most of the dividends pay four times a year, not monthly. There are a couple, there's none on my list, but there are some that pay, that pay monthly. But they're mostly real estate investment and trust. Most of them will pay four times a year. So all that money is going to go into your cash. And here's what you need to do. You need to look at your income portfolio and just say, for the sake of conversation, your income is, your portfolio that you're investing is $50,000. And you would like, your goal is to get 5%. And you invest that $50,000 in income portfolios. And, it ends up that your average, when you do all that, your average return is, 5.5%. And that 5.5%, ends up being, whatever it is, $2,500 a year. So you're going to take that $2,500, divide it by 12. And what I would suggest that you do is have at least that $2,500 in cash already in that money market account. And systematically, you're going to tell the broker that's holding your IRA, you're going to say, I want to get income, I want to get $200 a month. Can you automatically deposit that in my checking account? And they'll say yes, and they'll tell you how to set that up. So you automatically have it $200 a month going in your checking account. And in the meantime, at the end of the year, you will produce that money, but and it'll be replenishing, what is replenishing the money market account every four times a year. It's going to put some money in from all your different holdings. So that's the way you manage that. So you make a systematic withdrawal. Make sure you have the cash in there to do it. And then in the meantime, I always tell people 2 years worth of cash. But in the meantime, your preferreds or your utilities, your real estate investment trust, anything else you have producing income is producing a dividend, and it's replenishing that so that, every year you continue to make that withdrawal.
Great. That's a good idea. Thank you.
Yes. So that's how you do it. And you can find the dividend anytime you pull up the symbol on your brokerage account. So when you pull up a symbol, let's say you have a utility stock and the symbol for is Dominion Energy, and you own that. Well, when you look on the chart that it gives you, your brokerage, I don't know who you're with, but every chart's a little bit different. But it's someplace it's going to say your annual dividend yield. Now, in the case of Dominion, it's 4.3%. That's the annual dividend yield. So you can estimate roughly. I mean, it could change a little bit, but basically you're going to get roughly 4.3% a year based on what you have, and you can do the math and figure out how much that is and then divide it by 12 and know how much that is per month.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay.
Have a great day.
All right, Brian, thank you. I appreciate the call. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Don. Don's calling us from Alabama. Hey, Don.
How you doing, sir?
Okay.
I have a question that I have been listening to you for several years, and actually I'm outside right now driving my tractor through the pasture. But I know your position on gold and silver, like precious metals and bars and this kind of thing. But I never heard you say anything about what I call junk silver. Pre-95 dimes, quarters, half dollars that are, you know, the old silver coin that my father years ago ran a coin-operated business, laundries and stuff, in a large military base operations in this country. And I have over $7,000 face value of dimes, quarters primarily, a few half dollars and a few silvers from a total collapse and barter trade position. What do you think about that?
Well, I think from a total collapse barter system, I don't think it's going to give you
a
lot more.
About you know, you don't want to have to go in a store and try to, you know, scrape off some gold from a bar to buy a can of beans. But if you can go in there with a, you know, an old silver dime to buy a can of beans.
I think that in a collapse situation like you're referring to, I don't think they're going to carry a lot more value than the face value that they're worth. Why? Because they'll be able to get away with it. Remember that silver in there, it's not pure silver. It's not all silver. And it's very expensive to extract it, and it doesn't give anybody, I'm talking about a grocery store, it won't give them any immediate value. Their concern is going to be paying their electric bill. And so I don't think that that's going to, now I'm not saying they don't have long-term value in your estate, because they do possess some numismatic value. But you could have an 1820 silver dollar, and in times like that, though it's got great numismatic value, if you were to use it in a store, it's going to give you a dollar. And that's, you know, that's just the likelihood of the way it's going to be.
Don't you think that it's going to be based on the spot value of silver at that time?
No, because they're not 0.999. They're not 0.999 silver. They're not pure silver coins. They have to extract the silver from those. Now, you know, so
well, I'm
I don't yes, think it's going
I understand that, but I'm talking about just for a barter trade situation. I mean, from me to a merchant to somebody else, that I'm not talking about.
I mean, if I have no idea. I have no idea whether they're going to be valuable. I would much rather have a pure silver coin to barter with than one of the junk coins. The barter value is going to be far greater. But
don't you think that there's more prospects of somebody counterfeiting a new pure silver coin than a old American.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think so. I think that, you know, if you're bartering with someone...
Sometimes business owners and entrepreneurs don't follow a traditional schedule. Well, that's where BizTV's Biz Club can work for you on your time. For only $5.95 a month, you can have over 200 hours of our fresh, original content on demand, anywhere, anytime. And with our search feature, you can quickly and easily find the topic or show you're looking for in seconds. Sign up today and see what you've been missing. Free for 7 days. Join the Biz Club. It's BizTV. On your time.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp. Get started with your idea. Call for free information.
Call 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-15. Computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information, and then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
591.
Issues. I'm Dan Celia, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. We're going to go to calls. Folks, listen, you know, sometimes I'm always tempted to tell people, you know, what they want to hear. You've got to understand, to try to predict, and guess what? I'm no dumber or smarter than all the guys writing all the conspiracy theory things about what you should have and what you should do. They live in the twilight zone because nobody knows what's going to happen. And all I can do is do what they don't do. I think logically. I'm just thinking logically. I'm thinking about the human nature and the logical way things are going to go. So let me see. Our dollar collapses. Okay, the dollar collapses. But the government's going to allow an alternative currency to collapse it even further. So they're going to allow gold and silver to be traded legally. I'm not talking about what's happening on the black market, but legally. even though it's going to undermine the currency that is already in the tank. Let's think logically. You think that's going to happen? It's never going to happen. So now they make that illegal to do. So you can't use your silver and gold. So even though you have a minted coin, do you understand that the only value there's going to be to anybody is the minted coin? 25 cents, a dollar, 50 cents, whatever it is. That's going to be the value. Well, if they barter based on the value of the silver, which I don't think they're going to do, but if they do that, then they're doing something illegal. So that's going to have to be done in the black market. Just saying. Anyway, so we've got to understand that you're not going to predict, but I think that we can safely predict what human nature is going to do. And human nature, everybody's going to be looking out for themselves and doing what is best for them, not what is best for you. They're not going to care what's best for you. So I go back to what I said back in 2008 when I was talking about this on a regular basis, just to the point of total frustration. look, my jar of peanut butter that I have hoarded is going to be worth more than your currency or your so-called currency, because I'm going to be able to get a bag of rice in bartering for my jar of peanut butter. You're not going to get a bag of rice for your silver bullion because you can't eat silver. You can eat peanut butter. You can't eat silver. So, I mean, I always am amazed that when we read conspiracy theories and all these things are going to happen, how everybody that reads it has a total loss of common sense and the ability to logic. Everybody does. They totally lose it. I mean, they could be the most practical, logical thinker in the world, and they read these conspiracy theory things, and all of a sudden that's out the door. They no longer have the ability to think logically. We need to think logically through these things if we want to truly understand what might be best for us and our farmers. My father lived through the Depression. He was in his 20s. He was working at the time. And he said the people out in the country that were farmers, he said some of those people hardly even knew there was a depression. They were fine. Their families were fine. Their families were healthy. They went about their business. They had useful things that people needed. Yes, they got inflated prices for them. But, you know, they weren't lacking for anything. Now, I'm not suggesting we all go out and farm, but, you know, we have to think logically when we think through some of these things. All right. Enough before I fire up 10 more calls. Let me go to Chuck from Texas. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for your ministry. I was just going to ask, I've worked for the government, and they're going to supposedly put me out due to medical conditions probably about the third month of next year. And I hadn't been long enough here to be able to have a very big nest egg. You know, I have what I put in my TSP and then whatever the government matched. And I was wondering, do I have the ability to take that out and say put it in a 401k or something at my bank that I can manage possibly what they're doing with it? And what would the problems be if I did that and later on a year or 5 years, whatever down the line, if I need to draw it out?
Yeah, so yes, you have total flexibility to do whatever you want. So if you took that TSP and you rolled it into an IRA account, which is what you would do, so you wouldn't have to pay all the tax on it at once. So you'd roll that over into a IRA account at your bank or at a brokerage account, preferably where you can, you know, use CDs and maybe buy some other things. But yes, and then you would have total flexibility of drawing that out anytime you want as well. Now, would you be on disability, out on disability?
Now, but probably so, but I don't know if it's going to be at the governor or if they're just going to push me to get Medicare or whatever disability.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, you have a lot of, once you leave and once you roll that TSP into an IRA, you have total flexibility. I mean, it's all your money, and you can do whatever you want with that. If you draw any of it out, of course, you got to pay tax on it. If you're over 59 and a half, you don't have to pay any penalty. But, you know, because it's in a TSP, which is an IRA, basically, you know, that money's all taxable when you use it, only when you use it. That's why you would put it in an IRA. But, yeah, you have flexibility. You can do whatever you want with it.
63 and a half-ish. That there'd still be with no penalty, just had to pay the taxes on it?
Yes, just the taxes. That's right. And you only pay taxes on what you use, what you pull out.
And with that, what the government contributed to my TSP, that'll roll over also into a CD or whatever?
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay, well, I do thank you, Dan, and you're very, very helpful to me and many more folks, and I thank you.
Well, thank you, Chuck. I appreciate it. Merry Christmas. Let me go to, by the way, our phone lines are open, 844-707-5533. Let me go to Randall. Randall's calling us from Arkansas. Hey, Randall.
Hey, Dan. Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I have a two-part question. It's about preferreds, specifically FP36. And it has to do with how they react to interest rates. And am I correct in understanding, number one, that preferreds, depending on the rate, will go down in a rising interest rate environment as far as the value of the stock? So I'll let you answer that, and I'll follow up my second part.
So it depends on the economy, but if we're in a rising interest rate environment, then they will go down in value immediately, but you will get your value when they call it. It doesn't, so it's never going to impact, let's say it's $25 is the par value. It's never going to impact the par value, and it's never going to impact the amount of interest that you have been promised. But if you go to sell it before it gets called, then you won't likely get $25 for it.
Gotcha. Okay. The second part of that, if the interest rates rise enough to where the amount paid by the preferred is less, is it possible that they would not call it, even though the call, say this one's a call date, so I think it's September of 2021. They don't necessarily have to call it, correct? I mean, could they just keep it out there indefinitely?
They will not likely call. It's hard to say what's going to be like in 2021, but if you had a stock, if you had a preferred that was callable this year or 2019, it's not likely it's going to get called. Now, remember that the call date stated is just that. It's a stated date, but they can call it tomorrow or they can call it 5 years from now. They're continuously callable. That date doesn't mean they're going to call it no matter what anyway, but the only way a preferred right now in a rising interest rate environment is going to get called is if the company wants to get out of debt. If they are struggling to get out of debt, they need to get out of debt for one reason or another, then that's a debt instrument, and they're going to try to pay that off. And they pay it off by calling it, obviously. So that's how they're going to get called. Now, so in a bad environment where the interest rate's going up, we could have a situation like we had in 2008 and 2009 where we saw preferreds calling because they were deleveraging. Corporate America was deleveraging. They were trying to get out of debt. So we saw a lot of the preferreds getting sold. But you're right in your thinking that they're not going to call it in a rising interest rate environment because it's a better deal for them to keep paying the interest.
All right. Thank you, Dan.
So
I pray that I can be a great role model for him. I pray that in these trying times that I can lead him in a way that I know will leave a godly imprint on his heart forever.
And show her how to live a life that is pure. I want her to understand how precious life is and to take care
of his body. To eat right and exercise and understand that his body is a temple of God.
I pray that our family will love Jesus, read his word daily, and obey his teaching.
The values that we share should guide us in the way that we invest. Make sure that you are investing in companies whose policies and practices align with pro-life, pro-family values. Visit thetimothyplan.com or call for more information. Advance the kingdom in the way that you invest.
I mean, if you didn't like business content, you wouldn't be listening to this show, right? What if I can give you even more of what you like? Now, we've never met, but I'm willing to bet you are very busy. Between your work, family, and outside commitments, this little car ride is your time to catch up on your favorite show. But do you always get to tune in? Exactly. Well, now there's a business club with you in mind. BizVod is the place for business videos on demand. We have partnered with this show to provide you more of the content you like. The best part? It's all on demand. That means you can log in anytime from any device and watch shows that answer all of your business questions. For a limited time, you can try it for free for 30 days. Simply go to bizvod.com and enter promo code radio. That's BIZVOD.com, promo code radio.
Christian Community Credit Union. Your money building God's kingdom.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. We've got an hour left, hour and 10 minutes left. If you want to queue your call up, do it now. Our phone lines are open, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533, if you want to queue your call. Well, let's take a quick look here as we get a little bit closer here to ending this hour anyway. Looks like the markets are off of their lows. We're seeing everything down about a half of 1%, except for the Nasdaq's down only a third of 1%. So that's where we are right now. So, you know, good news, I guess. I don't know. Everybody's waiting till Wednesday. Wednesday, 2 o'clock, the Federal Reserve speaks. Are they going to raise rates? Yes, China, trade, all that, that's going to be very important. What the best thing we can hope for there is that nothing happens. The other side is we have a lot of housing numbers coming out. Most of them, November numbers, builder sentiment number came out. That was down to a 3.5-year low. That's not good news. So we will watch housing as we get sales numbers that are going to be coming out. All right, let me go to the phones. Let me go to Clint. Clint's calling us from Arkansas. Hey, Clint.
Hey, how you doing? Listen to your show all the time. Good. I had a question. I've got a company that has recently sold out. I moved over to the company that bought it. I have a 401, and the new company offers a 401. Should I roll my old 401 into their plan, or would it be better to possibly do something other with it?
Do they match, and are you contributing?
Yes. Yes, the old company did match, and the new company actually has a little bit better plan than the old company had.
Okay. Yeah, I would roll it over. I think it's probably...
Okay.
I think it's your best bet to roll it over, Clint. Go ahead.
Okay. Also, I had a pension with the old company. The new company don't offer pension. But as long as it's set, they're no longer contributing to it, but it is making a 6%. Should I just leave that setting?
How far are you from retirement, Clint?
About 10 years.
Yeah, I'd leave it sit.
Okay. That's what I felt like from everything I listened to, listening to you 2 hours a day. I had a pretty good idea, but yeah. I just wanted to check, see.
Yeah,
correct. All righty. Well, I sure appreciate it, and I thank everything that you do. You bless a lot of people.
Thank you, Clint. I appreciate you saying that. Have a blessed Christmas. Let me go to Tim. Tim's calling us from Texas. Hey, Tim.
Hey, good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
So I feel like I've been listening to you for so long, I feel like we're best friends.
Good.
So I'm a member, Dan. I've never called in before. And I'm a little embarrassed to say, but I'm a huge procrastinator. Okay. So I've been on the sidelines since before the 2016 election for fear that her Hillary-ness was going to get elected. And I've been pretty much in a money market ever since. So I guess my question is, I've looked at your asset allocation models for my age group, and I think I probably already know your answer. But with the turmoil going on right now and everything, should I go ahead and jump back in at this point?
How many more years do you have till retirement, Tim?
Probably about 12 to 13.
Yeah, I would definitely get back in, and I wouldn't wait. I would do it sooner rather than later. I would start getting in. We'll see what happens on Wednesday, but one way or another, you got to start getting back in. I would at least start to get ready to get back. If that's in a money market account at a brokerage account, so then you're already ready. If that's not the case, if it's sitting in a bank or something like that, then yes, I would want you to move that cash over into a money market account and get ready to get back in at a brokerage and follow the asset allocation model. I mean, I think for the next, 12 years, or I'll say 10 years, you've got to be thinking that you've got to be invested. And I think in the long run, you're going to be far better off. In the last 2 years of that 12 years, you might want to start moving into an income portfolio. But in the meantime, I think you need to start picking up some gains. And I got to tell you, I really believe that we are in some volatility like to the likes of which we have seen this year. I think it's going to be a pretty typical, normal kind of routine. I think what we have seen is so much of the fast trading, the electronic trading, and ETFs and things like that, and what they're doing to the markets and causing some very large swings. And I don't see that changing. I mean, I don't see that going away, because I suspect, and I don't know this, I'll know sometime first quarter next year, but when all the numbers get finished and come out, but I suspect that a lot of these big trading institutions probably did okay, probably did well in this volatility, probably were able to take advantage of it because of how quickly you can place a trade, a buy or a sell. And they probably did okay, which is going to make the situation even worse. And ideally, the only way that we from here on in, which has always been, this hasn't changed, but we're going to make money by getting a good, strong strategy, one that we believe in, and that one that we can stick with. And some people say, well, you know, it's hard to believe in a stock that I owned, that I bought a year ago, that's down 30%. For me, it's easier for me to believe in it now that it's down 30%. Because if I liked it a year ago when it was higher, I love it now that it's down 30%. So, you know, I have a different, obviously a different mindset than a lot of, than the average person does from an investment perspective. But nonetheless, that's the attitude that we have to develop if we're going to be in what is likely to be a volatile market for a lot of years. And so I think that now's the time to get back in. We are at very good lows. And, you know, when we look at where we were before the election, we're still a long way off of that on the upside. And so when we look at it, we say, yeah, well, you know, 2 years ago, we were here. 2 years ago, it was lower. So we've made money. And you have to go back and look at the charts and see, man, if I just stayed in, you know, I'd still be up. Yes, I would have had a lot of sleepless nights, but in the end, I'd be up. So you got to have a good, well-diversified portfolio and get in. And I would do it sooner rather than later. It'd be ideal if by June of next year you could be pretty much fully invested, and you need to start moving towards that now.
Okay. Well, so thankfully it's been in a 401k, and my company's matching, 5%.
Good.
So I'm kind of doubling up on that. I'm putting in the max that I can. So I haven't been all out totally, not making money. But anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And Dan, I appreciate that. So I'll just get on and follow that asset allocations for my age group. And
yes, sir.
So, man, I sure appreciate you, and I appreciate your ministry and the Operation Preborn. That's sure been a blessing to my wife and I as well.
That's good to hear. Yeah, thank you, Tim, for that. I sure appreciate that, and I'm glad that's blessed you. And, you know, I think you're doing, you know, you just keep plugging away, and just now's the time to get invested and then get as much in as you possibly can. Keep doubling up on it, you know, and keep adding to it, because when it goes down, you're buying them on sale, and that's what you want. So thank you, brother. I appreciate you, and thank you for your partnership.
Thank you, too, my friend.
God bless. Yep, have a Merry Christmas. Thank you, Tim. 844-707-5533. We've got lines open. 844-707-5533. Let me finish out this last couple minutes here before we go to the next hour. But just remind all of you, man, you just heard about Preborn. If you haven't given, we need you to give to Financial Issues. We hope that you'll be able to give to this ministry. But I want to mention to you that Preborn has got a match going on. So if you sponsor for $140, you sponsor 5 ultrasounds, you just sponsor 10 ultrasounds. Listen, at least 8 of those young ladies are going to choose life over abortion, because that's just the statistic. Over 80% of them will choose life when they see that ultrasound. And we want you to help sponsor. It's a very expensive proposition for these nonprofit, these Christian centers that are working on a shoestring. So they need your help. If you buy a whole ultrasound to a pregnancy center waiting on a buy list, you'll buy 2 of them. So that's going on through the end of this month. And of course, we at Financial Issues, we need you to bless us as well. And we hope you'll find a way to do that. We sure appreciate you being with us. If you have to leave us, remember, all that we have is His. It's all the Lord's. It's all the Lord's. Let's stand before Him and be found a good and faithful steward. If you got to leave us, have a great day. God bless. More Financial Issues right after this.
If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under.
My prescriptions used to be really expensive, but then I went to GoodRx.com.
It just works. You put in the drug you're looking for, and bang, you've got 6 or more choices in front of you of pricing and locations to get it.
You never think about shopping around for medication prices.
I have good insurance, but with GoodRx, I save even more money.
What? I was paying how much?
Contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk, online at biztalkradio.com.